Three, two, one. Welcome back here on December 3rd, 2023, to the hottest show we've ever done. I swear, in my 15 years of doing this program with Jim Besser, this is Truth vs. News Incorporated and Scott Bennett, author of this fantastic book way back in 10 years ago. And other things that he's doing right now that makes him a cut above anybody else in America, I think. And so let's go, Jim. What we got next here?
Well, it turns out Israel's been planning, is planning for the Gaza war to last for over a year. The Financial Times reported from sources Israel plans to wage war on Gaza for over a year. In less than 2 months, they've killed at least 15,000, damaged 100,000 buildings, displaced 1.7 million, and destroyed most of Gaza's medical facilities. Imagine what they could do in six times that time. Friday, Israel was reported planning for a multi-phase conflict that'll last a year. It'll be a very long war. We're currently not near halfway to achieving our objectives, when after all, they want to slaughter 2.3 million people. U.S. sources have said Israel's military op in Gaza have failed to impact higher, even mid-level Hamas members. Israel estimates 1,000 to 2,000 Hamas have been killed. However, Israeli sources gave an estimate of 5,000 dead. Why is there such a large discrepancy? Well, they don't have the bodies. They're making it up. Meanwhile, they have killed more children, at least 6,000, than members of Hamas. The massive civilian toll has led to mounting world opinion against Israel. Secretary of State Blinken attended a meeting and warned that Tel Aviv will lose more international support as the conflict continues. The Israeli Defense Force Military Chief of Staff said operation in Gaza will take more than an additional few weeks. The first phase intense bombing campaign is expected to last well into 2024. First phase is about 40% complete. Gaza City isn't finished yet, nor fully conquered. It's probably 40% done. Just listen to this clinical description of genocide. The second phase will operate with fewer military operations aimed at stabilizing Gaza. Israeli officials cannot predict a firm endpoint. Benjamin Netanyahu has been pushed to allow the Palestinian Authority to control Gaza after Hamas. Tel Aviv will not listen to Washington, however, even though it's providing Israel with billions of dollars in weapons to slaughter the Palestinian people. There's not going to be any Gaza left. Meanwhile, the Bank of Israel estimates the cost of the war will be $53 billion, but don't worry, the American taxpayers are going to pick up the tab. Why are we paying for their war? When will we start asking these questions? RT reports. Israel's war on Hamas will cost the country $53 billion, hamper economic growth, according to figures published by the Bank of Israel. Fighting is paused, but the Israeli military is expected to resume this week. It has already resumed. Direct military spending will be $29 billion of the $53 total. Adding the figure includes military aid provided by the U.S. Compensation will come to around $6 billion. Other civilian expenditure is $6.75 billion. Lost tax revenue and interest will make up the remainder. And there you have the Israeli stooge, Lindsey Graham, with a shit-eating grin. What a disgusting cretin he is. Scott, your thoughts?
Yeah, Lindsey Graham's an evil homosexual sodomite that has blood on his hands and should be executed for treason. I've been saying that over here in Russia. Lindsey Graham is a liar and a maniac when he says things, you know, Russians are dying. It's the best money we've ever spent. And I am passionately against that. And I'm saying that on Russian television, that the American people are too. And that's been the nice thing about being over here is I can with force say the American people are not against Russia. They are not for Zelensky. we fired our Congress for that purpose, and trying to give them hope. So this thing with Gaza and the Israelis, you know, they're on thin ice that I think is going to fall through any moment. You're going to see drones and guerrilla attacks, and the civilians from all over the Muslim and Arabic world, I think, beginning to descend upon Israel for payback. And, the United States, it has terrible blood on its hands. It shows you who, all these rhinos and Republicans completely turning, giving everything, all the money, all the weapons over to Israel that they were giving to Ukraine. I mean, there's no integrity in this country. And, I've said the United States as our continental understanding from the past is over. The country is in war right now, and it's just a matter of the country eventually breaks up. And this is one of the things that can break up the United States of America. And you already see that all over the country with these protests at universities and elsewhere. This is going to get ugly very, very quickly. And I'll tell you, it could sink the Republicans because they're out of sync with the American people who do not support Israel because they do not support this sort of a bloodbath. Jim?
Wow. But God knows we're not going to support the Democrats, Scott. So, we have a dysfunctional government, a dysfunctional democracy today. Everything's out of whack. Brian?
Why are we supporting Israel? I've got two words to answer the question. Jeffrey Epstein. The largest Mossad blackmail operation ever known to mankind, also known as Pizzagate, tied to Hillary Clinton, John Podesta, and many others. And word is getting out. Marsha Blackburn this week tried to force Dick Durbin to open up the subpoena for the Jeffrey Epstein files. Even Twitter, or X or whatever it's called, Pizzagate's beginning to trend just about everywhere. We were told by Megan Fox and Sean Hannity and Tucker Carlson that it was all just a conspiracy theory, comet, ping pong, whatever, that none of it was real, that it was a far-fetched fantasy. And I think a lot of Americans were willing to believe that. But once you understand how that operation actually works, you understand why America is willing to hand $53 billion over to Israel to clean out Gaza. It's because they're compromised. The large majority of the people in Congress, the large majority of the power brokers in DC and the billionaires, I believe, are compromised, and because they're able to be blackmailed, because they've allowed the Mossad apparatus to get underneath their skin and compromise them. And I'm a guy who doesn't believe that people generally get into those positions of power unless they can be controlled. And when I say controlled, I mean both carrots and sticks. We'll make you rich. We'll tell you the stocks that you can participate in. But if you go against us, we're going to release this information or turn over this video, which is going to embarrass you and destroy you.
Wonderful. Wow. Excellent. Very discerning. Marvelous. Meanwhile, Israel plans a global assassination campaign. Israeli spies are preparing to assassinate Hamas leaders living in Lebanon, Turkey, and Qatar once the war with the militant group is over, officials have told the Wall Street Journal. The operation was originally planned more than a month ago, postponed so hostage negotiations could take place. Israeli intel began drawing up plans for the assassination campaign after the October 7th attack, citing the anonymous official. Some wanted to embark immediately, but were to wait until negotiating to free roughly 240 hostages could progress. The killings have been authorized by Bibi Netanyahu, adding it's now a matter of when, not if, the campaign will begin. While such ops are usually planned in secret, the Israeli government has explicitly warned that it intends to kill Hamas operatives outside of Gaza. Before the official leaked the story to the Wall Street Journal, Netanyahu declared that he had instructed the Mossad act against the heads of Hamas wherever they are. Answering directly to the BM's office, Mossad is Israel's foreign intel and covert operation agency. Who doesn't know this? Famed for capturing Adolf Eichmann, a Nazi officer leading organizer of the Holocaust, which, however, was a fantasy. Nobody died in any gas chambers using Zyklon B. The total deaths from all camps combined was 296,881, according to the International Committee of the Red Cross. Mossad failed to kill many of the Nazis it hunted in the decades immediately after the Second World War. It laundered a letter bombing campaign against former Nazi scientists working for Egypt rocket program in the early 60s, but it was called off by PM David Ben-Gurion in 63 after multiple targets escaped and at least five Egyptian workers were killed. In a multi-decade clandestine operation launched after Palestinian militants killed 11 Israeli athletes and coaches at the 72 Munich Games, which, by the way, I believe was actually conducted by Mossad itself, Mossad killed 18 suspected of involvement. One was a Moroccan waiter in Norway. An incident led to the arrest and sentencing of five Israeli agents by the Norwegian authorities. More recently, Netanyahu ordered Hamas to assassinate Hamas co-founder Khaled Marshall in Jordan in 1997. The two-man assassination team was captured after one sprayed a toxin into his ear, and Jordan threatened to shed its peace treaty with Israel in response. The standoff was defused when Israeli agent delivered an antidote to the toxin, and Netanyahu agreed to release dozens of Palestinian prisoners, including Hamas imminent co-founder Ahmed Yassin. Mossad agents were caught using forged Irish, British, and Australian passports for an assassination operation in Dubai in 2010. Meanwhile, Netanyahu says he wants wars with Iran, Iraq, Libya, and Russia. Listen to Jimmy Dore.
So I'm going to show you this video. This video I was sent to me. Doesn't matter who sent it to me. But watch this. This is a compilation of Benjamin Netanyahu warmongering. He seems like, I guess he's the permanent Israel prime minister. Watch this.
If you take away the Soviet Union and its chief proxy, the PLO, international terrorism would collapse.
If you take out Saddam's regime, I guarantee you that it will have enormous positive reverberations on the region. Obviously, we like to see a regime change, at least I would, in Iran, just as I would like to see in Iraq. The question now is a practical question. It's not a question of whether Iraq's regime should be taken out, but when should it be taken out? It's not a question of whether you'd like to see a regime change in Iran, but how do it...
Are there any other nations that you would recommend that the United States launch preemptive attacks upon at this point?
The answer is categorically yes, is Iraq and Iran. But a third nation, by the way, is Libya as well. Libya is trying very rapidly to build an atomic bomb capability. So you have here now three nations.
All stand together to stop Iran's march of conquest, subjugation, and terror. That no matter on which side of the aisle you sit, you stand with Israel.
By the way, that's a command. That's an order he was giving to Congress. That wasn't him making an assessment. He was telling them, you stand with Israel. And then that's what they did. They all stood. So the seemingly permanent Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu is seen here revealing his history of getting everybody else to fight his wars except himself or his people. It's like he's part Hitler, part Tom Sawyer. That's right. He's Tom Hitler, ladies and gentlemen. And he is as pious a Jew as Vito Corleone was a good Catholic.
I think that's brilliant stuff. Scott, your thoughts?
Yeah, you know, the thought occurred to me when I was in the Donbass and seeing all of these rubble buildings with holes in the wall and the windows shattered. I thought, that's coming to America. That's going to be American towns and cities. All these weapons that have been recirculated up through Mexican cartels, they're all going to be coming into America. America is going to suffer the catastrophic physical infrastructure losses is what the Donbass has. I wish it wasn't true, but I just see it. I see it coming. I can sense it coming. And I think it's part of, you know, a larger operation and stuff. But this is coming to America. And what's happening in Gaza is also coming to America. And the American people are sorely fat, stupid, dysfunctional, and incapable of enduring or having any sorts of reaction to this sort of meltdown that's coming upon us, will be coming upon us. Netanyahu and the maniacy that he's done, I don't know how long he's got to live. People over here in Russia are talking about his political career, of course, completely ending. I can't see America lasting very much longer with these sort of retards in political position, these child molesting, compromised, videotape, secret recorded politicians and others. The country cannot stand, it cannot endure. And all of this stuff that's happening in Gaza, you know, has turned every Muslim nation against the United States. Russia is emerging as the favorite of every Muslim and North African state. The United States, America, is falling apart. The only thing that comes to mind too, Jim, is if the COVID-19 vaccine has gotten into 90% of the Israeli population, they're all going to be fat, dying, and incapable of thinking on the degree that they were 20, 30 years ago. So the lethality of Israel and its claims to be able to target and kill, assassinate, I think is overblown. I think they're going to be falling apart very quickly from the vaccine they've self-inflicted. Go ahead.
Well, if there were ever a candidate deserving of the target of an assassination program, it's the very guy we saw there without any doubt, head and shoulders, leading the pack. Brian.
Yeah, again, victory through deception. I believe that the Israelis have an interest in assassinating Hamas about as much as they have an interest in putting a bullet in their own heads. Remember, Hamas was legally registered in Israel in 1978 under the auspices of Menachem Begin, I believe was his name, and Sheikh Ahmed Yassin, a political disciple of somebody named Hassan al-Banna, who was a puppet founder of the Muslim Brotherhood. So, you know, basically Israel needs to have their political boogeyman so that they can be attacked, so that they can do what is otherwise politically inexpedient because they've been attacked by these bad guys. I mean, the whole preposterous October 7th story should be proof enough for anybody that actually is capable of thinking to believe that Israel's youth music festival, remember, all of Israel's youth is supposedly trained in the military, and seven guys are going to come in here on parasails and take 149 hostages and at 7:30 in the morning on a Saturday while everybody's just having a good time at the local thing, and then there's going to be beheadings of babies and all that. Guys, get it straight. Israel has to create a boogeyman, and they have to have that boogeyman attacking them, because the best way to control the opposition is to lead it. They're not going to assassinate their own.
Very, wow. Very interesting take, Brian. Very, very interesting.
Yeah.
While media outlet marks massive outrage after fantasizing about the death of Donald Trump.
As the Democrats began to realize there's no way they can defeat Trump in 2024 with a walking corpse that is Biden, They've turned to a disturbing option, assassinating their opponent. Leftists have been suggesting Trump needs to be eliminated to ensure he does not become president once again. Democrat Representative Dan Goldman called for his assassination while claiming that he's a danger to the country. You can see him do it here.
I want to also turn to Trump, of course, and just some of what the reporting has been around some of his conversations. Also, as we anticipate a year full of trials next year, I want to take a listen to part of a conversation that he had with ABC's Jonathan Carl about January 6th and get your thoughts on the other end.
You told them you were going to go up to the Capitol. Were you just...
I was going to, and the Secret Service said, you can't. And then by the time I would have, and then when I got back, I wanted to go back. I was thinking about going back during the problem to stop the problem, doing it myself. Secret Service didn't like that idea too much.
So what...
And I could have done that. And you know what? I would have been very well received.
So there's been so much speculation, contemplation, discussion of what Trump wanted to do, what he knew or didn't know. I mean, do you think as a prosecutor, former prosecutor, this is something that could be useful in the case against Trump? How will it be used?
Yeah, well, I mean, look, he says I would be well received because he knows that the people who were there are his supporters who he riled up and incited to invade and riot at the Capitol and try to disrupt the proper counting of the Electoral College votes. So every time he talks, he's putting himself into a bigger criminal hole. That's not his objective. His objective is purely political at this point. Politics don't work in a courtroom, as I think he's finding out in the New York Attorney General's case in New York, a civil case, and that's going to continue in his criminal trials. But his rhetoric is really getting dangerous, more and more dangerous. And we saw what happened on January 6th when he uses inflammatory rhetoric now, and his recent Truth Social post is incredibly scary for anyone that might be trying to work in government. And it is just unquestionable at this point that that man cannot see public office again. He is not only unfit, he is destructive to our democracy, and he has to be eliminated.
I want to also
just tell you, I've never seen anyone who is more disgusting than that guy right there. Same time, they're trying to demonize a former president to a new level, claiming he's more dangerous than Adolf Hitler. The left-wing media is falling in line, trying to normalize the idea Trump could be assassinated before the election. The far-left radicals at Business Insider published a piece fantasizing about what might happen if Trump suddenly died ahead of the election. Here's what happens if Donald Trump dies while running in 2024. He points out if the Republican frontrunner were eliminated, there would be other Republicans who would look to replace him. If Trump died, but after the primary, but before the convention, other GOP presidential candidates would have to make a case to every state delegation for why they should be the nominee. The article fails to discuss that an older Joe Biden, who has shown significant health decline, could actually meet that fate. Some have speculated this media push to normalize Trump's death comes ahead of a left-wing plot to take care of the former president themselves. First, Levi Strauss, heir, Representative Dan Goldman, says Trump must be eliminated. Business Insider now is openly asking, what would happen if Trump died while seeking re-election? Charlie Kirk wrote, don't put anything past these people. The commentator, Jack Masovic, suggests it. The media has begun normalizing the death of Trump again. Now this. Pollster Richard Barris tied it all together. I think it's pretty clear what message you're sending when they speculate about the death of a candidate they claim is worse than Hitler, Stalin, Mussolini, etc. combined. The last time they did this, a lefty nutcase decided it was heroic to shoot Republican Representative Steve Scalise and four others. The Democrats know exactly what they're doing. First, they liken Trump to some of the most evil dictators of history, then casually suggest to their mentally deranged followers someone needs to eliminate him to save America. Well, the media suggests it's perfectly normal. What could possibly go wrong? I mean, Scott, this has just reached a new low. Your thoughts?
Well, you're dealing with a deranged people in Democrats and these left-wingers. These are the people that break bottles over politicians' heads in Europe and elsewhere. The Democrat climate change, LGBT fashion, and agree with it as the enemy of humanity. That's what we're facing as a lunatic fringe. I could see them in saying Trump violated the gag order. Remember, the gag order has been reinstated. So Trump has a gag order on him. That means the judge can say you violated it because you sent out a tweet, and they could throw him in jail and kill him in jail. Would that cause a civil war? Possibly. Would they also kill Biden? Possibly. Why? Because if you kill both of those guys, then you bring in Gavin Newsom, who I predict is going to be their inheritor. And remember, they have to label every Trump-supporting conservative Christian as a domestic terrorist. That's what Goldman is doing. That's what they've seeded when they had the veteran allegedly planning to assassinate Biden, and then they killed the veteran. Remember that happened a few months ago. So I don't have a doubt they're going to assassinate one or both men, but they're going to do some assassination operations to create martyrs to the elections, as McGregor has said too. I don't think we're going to have elections in 2024. I think the Democrats and the globalists have to trigger such chaotic typhoons, such tumultuous social, war, civil war, revolution, whatever you want to call it. They have to trigger that in order to say martial law or something akin to it to govern as tyrants, saying, you know, just look at COVID-19. These Democrat governors in COVID-19 became fascist dictators. Shut down your churches, shut down your businesses. Remember the governor, the mayor, Lori Lightfoot of Chicago, a crazy lunatic fascist who said, we'll throw you in jail if we get you on the street. That's in the heart of these Democrats. They're going to go that way. And I think you're going to have a civil war and a lot of bloodshed because Americans are not going to be told what to do and how to do it ever again after this COVID thing. The Democrats are incapable of seeing that. They think that they can bend the American people to their will. If they exert, they can't. You will only cause Americans to become violent in their rejection of tyranny. And that's what the Second Amendment was for. When the government becomes a tyrant, it is the duty of the people to overthrow such government and reconstitute one that seems good unto them. I think we're at that moment, Jim. Go ahead.
Oh, how wise were those founding fathers, Scott? I mean, you got to hand it to them. Brian, yeah. Your thoughts.
Right.
The media puppet seems very, very scared to me. Apparently there's something coming down the pipe that's scaring them enough that they're willing to try to assassinate another U.S. president to get protection from whatever seems to be coming their direction. Now, there's a lot of chatter in the conspiracy communities about what that looks like and who's going to be involved with it. Whatever is happening, I can tell you one thing. The good news is that all of America is beginning to wake up and break loose from the stupefaction that they've been under, this dark black magic fog of blindness that has been on our country is beginning to break open when Marsha Blackburn can talk about the Jeffrey Epstein flight logs and everybody knows what she's talking about. when Elon Musk can start tweeting about Pizzagate and everybody else can start talking about it, then what's happening is you're seeing that the tides are turning. The Hunter laptop, Huma Abedin, her husband, Anthony Weiner, Comet Pizza's making a comeback. There's all sorts of things that are beginning to trend that shows that America's going through awakening that should support the establishment of this new government, whatever it is and whatever it looks like. In the meantime, will they try another COVID? Probably. Try another pandemic. Will they try a blackout? Probably. Will they continue with false flags and fake shootings? Probably. And will they run and hide and continue to install actors with masks to protect the real villains while they're hiding in some bunker someplace? I think probably so. But I sure would like to know who the hunters are if they're out there, other than us.
Wow. Fantastic.
We have an additional development. Representative Loudermilk and Rimsall videotapes from January 6th committee depositions are gone. Too much truth refuting their report. They had to get rid of the evidence. Representative Loudermilk had taped depositions of January 6th star witness Cassidy Hutchison and other testifiers are now missing. I wrote a letter to Bernie Thompson asking for them. He confirmed they did not preserve the tapes. He didn't feel they had to. But according to House rules, you have to preserve any data and any information and document used in an official proceeding. So what did the Democrats try to hide from the American people when they destroyed hundreds of videotaped January 6th depositions? Recent revelations demand a full and thorough investigation. Mike Johnson needs to impanel a new select committee to review the actions of the prior J6 committee and present all the evidence to the American people, especially Nancy Pelosi's role in the involvement of the FBI and DHS. While the former chair of the committee claimed Democrats destroyed much of the video evidence, likely much, if not all, still exists. To that end, Congress needs to send evidence preservation notices to James Goldstone and his team. The U.S. Select Committee on the J6 conducted one of the most expensive investigations in the history of the House. More than 100 staffers, lawyers, contractors, support worked for more than a year and a half. More than 1,000 videotaped demos and interviews. More than 44,000 of video footage reviewed, more than 140,000 documents. They then hired a former Disney executive. Remember, Disney deals with fantasies. James Goldstone, who previously served as president of ABC News, to turn their product into a 2020-style primetime special, really propaganda extraordinaire. Goldstone and his team used their work product to produce 10 live hearings and 2 primetime specials. As a reward, he was hired by Blackstone as an exec for Candle Media. They shaped the narrative, work that turned selected witnesses like Washington, D.C. police officer Michael Fenone, White House aide Cassie Hutchison, into stars. There is evidence Hutchison's story was significantly altered after the decision was made to turn her into a star. Loudermilk uncovered evidence 3 months after she gave a sworn deposition. She recanted her testimony, providing a 15-page document describing errors she had made and new information, including a story about Trump attacking his Secret Service driver, which, of course, turned out to be baloney. Suddenly, her new testimony was ready for prime time. Loudermilk sent a letter to the former chair, Bernie Thompson, asked to provide the video so I could compare to the version Goldstone and his team presented to the public. Shockingly, Thompson admitted the Democrats had destroyed the videos along with hundreds of other videos, photographs, and docs. He claimed he didn't think the committee had an obligation to reserve them. The House of Representatives should send every one of the 100-plus persons, including Goldstone, involved in the committee an evidence preservation letter as soon as possible, send subpoenas demanding they turn over all communication document and video related to the work of the committee until the American people receive all the evidence and hear the full story of what happened. January 6th won't be able to heal the country. And of course, the Democrats are simply provocateurs trying to turn a peaceful protest. Trump himself said, peacefully, you know, patriotically and peacefully exercise your right to protest the stolen election. Scott.
Well, we know the Democrats facilitated this this psyop to rush through the election of Joe Biden, to rush through the you know, these fake votes that were never for Biden. The whole thing was a pageantry. The whole thing was drama. It was kabuki theater. And we've had Ukrainians brought in to bash and break windows. You know, now you see tapes going, you know, missing and erased. There is no government. There are hoodlums and criminals who have hijacked positions. You know, I don't know how people are going to react in the coming days and weeks and months, but I don't see any hope of the American people siding with any of these, you know, Ukrainian funding ideas they're trying to advance. It's you know, it just shows you the depth of criminality and corruption that's been at play there. And it's sad. The American Republic is falling apart into a cesspool District 9 cacistocracy. It's a terrible thing to behold, Jim.
Brian.
Yeah, not too much to say about January 6th. I think everybody knows exactly what happened there. But I can hear circus music playing all over the place. And for some reason, Emerson, Lake, and Palmer came into my brain. Welcome back, my friends, to the show that never ends. We're so glad you could attend. Come inside, come inside. Set to the sound of circus music, because that's what it is. It's obviously a show. And I think all of America is beginning to recognize it for what it is. Tucker Carlson lost his platform over exposing it. Many others have been exposing it ever since then. And with the latest release of the videos that Mike Johnson was able to get out, everybody sees it for what it is. These people are evil. They're going to need to go down. And even the Democrats are turning on them right now.
Very nice. Very nice, Brian. I love that musical allusion.
Yeah.
Meanwhile, Biden's wide open border record 50 million immigrants now in the United States. Foreign-born citizens in America have reached almost 50 million, spiked by Biden's wide open border. More simply, almost 15% of America's population is now foreign-born. The surge came during the border crisis under Biden's liberal policies, according to the U.S. Census Bureau. The number is likely much higher because the current population survey of foreign-born does not account for those who have escaped Border Patrol. CIS Research Director Camerata and demographer Karen Ziegler wrote, more than half, 2.5 mil of the 4.5 mil increase in foreign born since January 2021 is likely due to illegal immigration. Adjusted for those missed, the increase would be larger. While the daily records of illegal crossings are unprecedented, the census numbers show the impact of the open border across the country. It can be seen in the bullet point provided by Camerata and Ziegler. Since President Biden took office in January 2021, the foreign-born population has grown by 4.5 million, larger than the individual population of 25 of the United States. Here is a way in which the numbers have been increasing dramatically. Other highlights? The 4.5 million increase overall, 2.5 million in illegal are both net figures. The number of new arrivals was significantly higher, but offset by out-migration and natural mortality. The foreign-born pop has grown an average of 137,000 a month compared to 42,000 a month during Trump presidency before COVID hit, and 68,000 a month during Obama's two terms. The scale of immigration is so high, it appears to have made the new Census Bureau projections, published November 9th of this year, obsolete. The Bureau projected the foreign-born share was not supposed to hit 15% until 2033, wow. 10 years hence. The largest increases since January for immigrants from South America, up 28%, Central, 25%, Sub-Saharan Africa, 21%, Caribbean, 20%, and Middle East, 14%. Immigrants from all Latin America increased by 2.9 million since January of 2021, 63% of the total increase. Though a significant percentage is from illegal immigration, legal immigrants still account for 3/4 of the immigrant population. The number of immigrants passing into the U.S. will spike under Biden if the trend is allowed to continue. The total number would reach 58.9 million and 17.3% of the total population by the end of a second Biden term. Meanwhile, the migrant crisis has taxpayers on the hook for up to $451 billion. Americans could pay up to $451 billion to care for migrants who enter the U.S. illegally, but have been released into the country or escaped from custody, according to a new report from House Republicans. Every day, millions of taxpayer dollars are spent on costs directly associated with illegal immigration. Only a small fraction is ever recouped from the taxes paid by illegals, the rest falling on the shoulders of American citizens and lawful residents. Compiled from federal and state records, media reports, and other public information, the 50-page document outlines the taxpayer costs incurred in medical care, housing, education, and other welfare benefits for tens of millions of migrants, to say nothing of the additional costs for law enforcement. The bill for government care and housing could total as much as $451 billion per year. $451 billion per year nationwide, as apprehended migrants and known gotaways who have entered the U.S. since 2021. Between 16.8 million and 29 million illegals currently reside in the U.S., according to estimates from the Federation for American Immigration Reform in Yale, 3.8 million of which have entered since Biden took office. Outrageous. Scott, your thoughts?
Well, you know, Doug McGregor has said the next flashpoint is going to be along the southern border with Mexico and the United States. I could see all of these weapons to Ukraine winding up in the hands of the drug cartels and them causing havoc and causing terrorism, whether it's out of a desire to reconquer parts of America or just get a vengeance. There is a bloodlust and a savagery and a racial hatred that exists in the Hispanics towards the white people. I see that coming out. I see that increasing, especially if they perceive that they're hunted. If you reflect, too, on what Scott Adams had said the other day, he had a very interesting show, and he said, look, Donald Trump is being set up as the martyr. He's being, abused. He will be president and he will initiate a police state in America and go after all of these Hispanic migrants. Expect FEMA camps, expect the police state in America. I mean, I'm sorry, it was Mike Adams, not Scott Adams, Mike Adams. Saying all of these things. And, you know, it's important to kind of take that into consideration and listen to it and watch it, because a lot of what he's saying makes perfect sense. So I have always said you are going to have, a civil war conflict on the southern border, and it seems to be manifesting that way. And the bloodlust hatred of white people from all of these third world savages that have no education, can barely speak their own language, have no skill sets, are coming in and squatting, remember their low IQ disposition is inclined to just, you know, cause chaos for chaos's sake. You know, we are on the verge of a barbaric meltdown and a fall of Rome, a mob chaos that, you know, is going to be something that breaks up the country. I think you're going to have tribal reorganizations of parts of the country and states and towns and counties, but you're going to have, I think, a lot of bloodshed and a lot of changes coming to the country. The notion of America as what it was 20, 30, 40 years ago, I believe is completely dead and impossible, because the mentality of the people, both in America and those sensing an entitlement to come in and rape and pillage and squat here, that sense of entitlement, which the Democrats have encouraged, is only going to lead to massive civil war and revolutionary war in the country. Jim?
Brian?
Yeah, these are seeds of very bad things that they're bringing here into the United States through our southern border. Obviously, if we're so busy fighting each other and we're so busy scrambling for a piece of food or squirrel to get a nut, then we're not fighting these people that are in control of this situation, or these that are guiding the situation. I think they're going to continue to stoke fears, anxieties, hatreds of each other. They're going to try to pit us against one another. They're going to certainly use Donald Trump to do that. They'll probably resurrect another BLM concept or something else. They're going to do everything they can to keep us so busy fighting with each other that we can't fight them. We just need to resist that temptation and continue to tell the truth, bringing people together, growing our audience, and helping people see clearly what the truth is through all of the fog of war.
Yep. Very good.
Very, very good. Great. Yep.
Meanwhile, conservatives praised DeSantis' debate performance against Newsom on social media. He whipped him. I watched it. He did. Conservatives and social media celebrated DeSantis' debate performance against Newsom, outlining why they thought he won the debate. DeSantis is kicking Newsom's ass, said Mark Levin. In fact, Newsom is looking and sounding silly. He did. DeSantis went up against a Democrat Party star and whipped him, Levin added. It's just that simple. I was 100% wrong on this debate. I thought Gavin Newsom would be likable and intelligent, said outcook founder Clay Travis. I was incorrect. This is a massacre. If this were a boxing match, Newsom's corner would have thrown in the towel a long time ago. Complete and total win for DeSantis, from open to close. It was. Holy cow, conservative commentator Chris Lowe posted. If you aren't blind, you're witnessing the dismantling of the California governor. Hannity puts up a graphic of the facts, and then Newsom says the opposite is true. DeSantis is destroying him with simple comparison of records. I've never seen anything like this, conservative commentator David Rubin posted. Newsom literally can't say one sentence that is true. DeSantis is calmly just laying out facts and reality. This disconnect from reality, Newsom and the left have, is exactly what needed to be exposed. Is there anyone on Twitter.com that thinks Newsom did a good job here? I think DeSantis just added Newsom. POTUS Ambition Substack publisher Jordan Satchel posted, exposed him as a soulless lizard person, landed haymakers all night. Best governor of the nation showed up in top form tonight. He did. A Newsom spokesperson directed Fox to social media posts from some conservatives who thought DeSantis lost a debate, including GOP strategist Mike Mandred, who posted that Newsom was bludgeoning the Florida governor. He either didn't see the debate or he's just lying big time. Meanwhile, the Babylon Bee got it right. Nation in shock. after Gavin Newsom murdered on live TV. Alpharetta, Georgia. Americans are still reeling this morning after the shocking murder of California Governor Gavin Newsom was captured live on air and broadcast to millions of viewers. "I'm still shaking," said one local observer. "He was just there one moment, and in the next moment, he was brutally eviscerated, torn to pieces, murdered. I'll never be able to shake those horrific images from my memory." Fox News was roundly criticized for airing the disturbing footage, completely uncensored, to shock viewers. "Kids shouldn't be allowed to see such things," said one concerned mother whose child walked into the living room while the incident was playing on live television. "My five-year-old will be scarred for life. He may need counseling. How could Fox do this?" Authorities are still searching for three accomplices they say are persons of interest in the cold-blooded slaughter of California's governor. Alvarez police chief named the three at-large suspects as Sean Hannity, Ron DeSantis, and a paper map of the human poop covering San Francisco's sidewalks. At publishing time, authorities confirmed the suspects are still on the loose and should be considered extremely dangerous. Scott, your thoughts?
Well, you know, DeSantis simply did what any decent conservative candidate should do, and that is destroy a liar and a maniac. Newsom has got nothing good. He's the one who signed a law where the state can come in and take children out of people's homes and castrate them if they're confused and think they could be some transgender schizophrenic, which, of course, the school officials encourage. But, you know, the Democrats are incapable of really seeing any reality. They're incapable of a political discretion anymore. It's all becoming a form of maniacy. I've seen that recently too. The BBC and all these leftists, when you watch their news channels, you really see just how pathological they're becoming. They're advancing things such as climate change anxiety, and this is part of their psyops. So you have whole schools of thought on the liberal side cultivating this climate change anxiety as if it's a real thing. And they're honestly out there saying climate change is so real, people are developing anxieties and fear and psychological, emotional problems over, you know, fear that climate change is going to damage them. And they're serious about this. So, you know, don't be surprised at the level of hypocrisy and just complete nonsense that the Democrats are going to be advancing with a violence too. Never forget, the Democrats in their heart are fascist, violent, angry people that will resort to all sorts of controlled bloodshed to steal political power. Jim?
Well, Newsom began by saying neither of them were going to be on the ticket in 2024, being very coy, because I have no doubt the plan has been for him to replace Biden. But this has greatly complicated because he just blew it big time. Now, for DeSantis, this has elevated him nationally very considerably, far above, for example, Nikki Haley, who's a nincompoop. I think Trump has a new name for her, you know, as a flyweight. If something were to happen to Trump, God forbid, I think DeSantis would be a shoo-in to be the Republican nominee after this performance. Brian?
Now, I'll take the lady from Florida over DeSantis in a heartbeat, Carrie Lake. Okay.
Arizona, yeah.
Arizona. Newsom just invited Xi to come visit San Francisco, which is part of why he cleaned it all up. We got Pelosi selling out, apparently slipping very much in terms of losing power. Maxine Waters, Eric Swalwell, many other names are part of this California connection. And my question is, you know, why did they clean it up for the Chinese? Were they trying to sell it or something?
No, he's a puppet of China. He's already made trips to China to explain he's going to be the next president of the United States. Think of a DeSantis-Kerry Lake combination, Brian. That might be a winner. She doesn't have a background in government, but she could make a super vice presidential nominee. Meanwhile, I switched out the less significant stories for these. Vax the Ripper found in New Zealand. Finally confirmed vaccine causing serial mass murder. Jack the Ripper was, of course, a serial killer in England around 1888, terrorizing the East Side for a period of 4 months with until the killing stopped. Let's talk about Vax the Ripper, a serial killer on a greater scale than all history wars combined. So statistically, what we're saying is that there's no chance that this vaccine is not a killer. Since 2021, when Trump's Operation Warp Speed began injecting people with something the medical industry called a vaccine, excess mortality rates began to rise, not only here, but around the world, as medical-based tyrannies began forcing people to take an experimental injection that was supposed to provide immunity to a disease that has to this day never been identified outside of computer models. Now come the results of a statistical study done by a brave New Zealand statistician and government data director, conclusively showing that COVID vaccines, and likely others now being given, are causing skyrocketing deaths, especially on the South Island. Here you have a report of deaths per day in various age groups. And you can see they had a flu epidemic. I wonder whether that were not a pilot project. Yeah, the Christchurch massacre, which was completely phony and fraudulent, but used to take guns away from the New Zealand population. And then the massive increase with the shots. I know that jabbing took place in a very close time frame in some of these groups. Deaths were within a few months. Look at the numbers. This is a big data set, making it statistically more relevant. The higher the number of vaccines, the more accurate the statistics. So we got 837 with a death count at 253, 30%. Almost one in three who got vaxxed are no longer with us. That site, Queen's Park, is in Invercargill. Here we have another residential elder care service. 923 jabbed, 276 dead, nearly 30% again. To your point that the vax was promoted to protect the elderly, it did precisely the opposite. What did it save them from? If they were going to die anyway, how much longer did it buy them? Are we taking a week, a month? What was the purpose here? We got 48 vaccination, 12 dead. That's a quarter of those jabbed dead, way above the statistical average. A lot of sites have a mortality rate under 1%, which is what you expect as the rule, as the norm. So something's going on here that cannot be explained. This is incredible. Why? Because it should never happen. Statistically, right, this is impossible unless there's something wrong with the vaccine. Massive death, yes. A huge ratio. The death ratio normally is 0.75, but now we got 30%. I'll show you the clusters. I'll put this on the big screen. Meanwhile, the WHO calls for masking and physical distancing over a mystery illness, as Brian was anticipating. Here it comes again. The World Health Organization is telling Chinese to wear face masks, keep physical distance, stay home amid the outbreak of a mystery respiratory illness. Media reports claim hospitals in Beijing and Lyon are overwhelmed with cases of undiagnosed pneumonia, primarily affecting kids. Chinese officials first announced the outbreak on November 13th, which they blamed on the absence of lockdown restrictions. China later told a WHO probe no new pathogen was responsible, blaming the surge on common winter bugs hitting harder than usual due to lowered immunity from COVID. Despite the assurances, the UK has signaled it may be considering a return to mandates like forced masking. Media reports say hospitals in Beijing are overwhelmed with cases. They reported the first outbreak. Meanwhile, the UN has launched a gate-funded global digital ID program as experts warn of a totalitarian nightmare. The UN Development Program said its 50-in-5 campaign was part of the construction of an underlying network of components. A critic said the digital public infrastructure will be a mechanism for surveillance and control that combines digital ID, central bank digital currencies, vaccine passports, and carbon footprint tracking, paving the way for 15-minute smart cities, future lockdowns, and systems of social credit. The Gates Foundation has already allocated $200 million to expand global digital public infrastructure as part of a broader plan to fund $1.27 billion toward sustainable development goals by 2030. Other entities involved: Rockefeller Foundation, Omidar Network, ID 2020, and the UN World Bank. Surprise, surprise. Scott, your thoughts?
Well, it's genocide. Any sicknesses that are going to be encountered are directly related to the COVID-19 vaccine, destroying people's bodies' immune systems. And you're yet to see the outbreak of measles and herpes and shingles and all the other things that'll come. Cancers, of course, are exploding. I don't doubt the UK and the European Union are going to go into full lockdown because of the political preservation license that this gives them. They are going to be, as Brian said earlier, they're going to be initiating all kinds of smoke grenades, lockdowns, COVID emergencies, national disaster, climate change, domestic terrorism from Trump supporting white people. All of these cards the Democrats and the globalists are going to lay down on the table, expecting the American people, the conservative people, to just buckle and follow. And I think the opposite is true. And that's where Russia comes in a very interesting way. It is a traditional family values Christian country. And they are very quickly going to become the sanctuary for a lot of conservatives in many, many regards when the left goes in the complete meltdown in so many ways. I have told the Russians here what the Russians need to do in Ukraine is the same thing that Oliver Cromwell did in the English Civil War in the 1500s. And that was go into the Ukrainian parliament.
Oh, come on.
Kick out every single parliament leader, chain the door, and arrest and prosecute and have a Nuremberg hearing for every Ukrainian parliament member, because in a sense, Ukraine is done, but everything within the internal political mechanism of Ukraine and the intelligence and the media, all of it needs to be completely ripped off like a scab. Everything needs to be cleaned because of the poison, the toxicity, the insanity, which has been bred and cultivated by the United States for 20 years, if not 30 years. So, you know, we'll see if they follow my instruction. I've had good feelings because they have been following some things. But Ukraine and this whole Russian paradigm shift that's coming, this coming year is going to be very, very tumultuous for the United States, while I think it's going to be very, very kind of unifying to the BRICS nations, Russia and the Middle East, because you've got America, Ukraine and Israel on one side and basically the rest of the world on the other. Jim?
Very good, Scott. Brian, yours.
Well, I think they're going to have to shut down the internet here pretty soon because there's too many people waking up. Simple fact of the matter is the mainstream media can only capture the minds of a certain percentage of the population, and they're not being able to hold on to those minds as much as they used to be. So there's going to be a problem as the internet continues to wake people up and people see things like the Twitter platform and even, you know, some more Facebook posts here or there or whatever. People are going to wake up, and that means that their techniques are going to become less and less effective, and they're going to have to take more draconian measures than ever before to control a population that is becoming more and more difficult to control. I think just about the large majority of the population recognizes January 6th for what it is, as a false flag. I think we recognize now that they see the federal FBI as the way to lead the controlled opposition, and that they're going to continue to set up false flags with fake shootings, fake events. It's just going to keep going. Fortunately, there's people like us out here that are going to expose it. And it's going to be 1984 here pretty soon if we don't keep talking and keep inviting more people into this, into being able to see clearly.
And with that, gentlemen, I want to thank you both for a superb program today, if not the best, one of our most important ever. I agree with Don. Take us out.
Yes. Oh, I agree with everything they're saying on the show. The fact that we are really guilty of exposing the falsehoods of the media and causing problems with them, having control. They're losing it because there's truth out there and we're exposing it. And you are helping us do that out there in the audience. And we love you all. So keep on going on. Thank you, Scott, for excellent reporting out of Russia. Well, and Brian Daniel Davidson, you're fantastic. Jim, of course, what a show we have. So share it widely. And we love you. And you take care now. God bless.